There are three chapters in the Word of God that have made such an impression on this preacher that I believe are, as Brother Chavez described them, core truths. And they have to do with sanctification. They have to do with the Spirit of God leading in our lives. I especially enjoy and appreciate John chapter 15 and what the Lord had taught us in that chapter. Galatians chapter number 5, couple that with Romans 8. And we come to some verses and chapters that really describe to us what I would call the Spirit-led life. If there's a truth that you and I need tonight, is that we understand that God's Spirit wants to lead us. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes and indwells you. He becomes that which is within you. He wants then to control in your life. He wants to control you. And we must then allow that by yielding to Him. That'll never happen as long as we don't yield. We have a free will. And so the Spirit of God comes to dwell within us. He wants to control us. Now, do you understand tonight, if the Spirit of God's controlling you, that you are in the will of God? Do you understand that? Do you understand tonight, if the Spirit of God's controlling you, you are in the most blessed position that you could ever be in? I mean, you understand that? Do you realize tonight, if He is controlling you, He is not taking you down the pathway of destruction, but of construction. He wants to work in your life in a most wonderful way. And bless you. That is His desire. And so you and I, if we're going to have that take place, we must yield ourselves to His Spirit. I should also include that a fourth chapter in Romans chapter 6, which really gives that truth of yielding unto Him. I find from the Word of God, chapter 8, you don't need to stand. I want to look at one verse here this evening. So I want you to notice this verse. It says in chapter 8, verse number 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." No one other than a child of God can be led by the Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit of God can work in a lost person's life. We know that because He worked in our lives to bring us to salvation. The Holy Spirit of God wants to work in the lives of the unsaved to bring conviction upon their soul. And He is going to show to them their need to be saved from sin. He is going to bring conviction or convincement in the area of sin, as we find in the book of John. We're going to find He brings conviction in the area of righteousness, our need of righteousness, and of judgment to come. John chapter 16 speaks to us very directly concerning that. We may look at those verses later tonight. But we find that a child of God is the only one who can be led by the Spirit of God because He lives within us in this age and He wants to fill us. He wants to have complete control of our life. We know that there are opposing forces seeking to control us. We know that tonight. We know that from the book of Galatians. Chapter number 5, verse 16 says this, "For I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the what? Flesh." We have these two opposing forces. It goes on to say, he said, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." So lying within each of us, if you're saved tonight, you have the Holy Spirit of God who come to indwell you. Know ye not that you have that Spirit within you? When you get saved, the Bible teaches us that. But we find also we still have the flesh. Have you noticed the flesh still there? If you haven't pinched yourself, you'll find it is still there. The flesh is still there with all of its desires, with all of its wants. And so we have these two doing battle with each other. Now, I used to teach that it was the new man and the old man. We're to put off the old man, we put on the new man. But we find that even the new man can be encumbered by the flesh. That is our real enemy tonight. Many times we say, "Well, the devil made me do it." Well, the devil is out there trying to, what? To get our flesh to follow after the things of the devil and the things of the flesh. But there are two opposing forces. And so we have these tonight. How can we discern the leadership of the Spirit of God and the leadership of the flesh? We operated for many, many years. If we were saved later in life, we operated for many years. What? In the power of the flesh. We did what we wanted. We did what our flesh dictated. The needs of the body, that dictated to our soul. God, however, when you got saved, enlivened something. He enlivened your spirit. It had been dead. And so now instead of a two-part person that has all of its affections, all that which is within the soul, those affections that are being driven by the flesh, now you're in tune with God. You have the Spirit and the Spirit of God seeking to direct that. And now you have these two opposing forces. How can we know which is which? Sometimes I believe for Christians it's a little bit confusing. How can we discern the leadership of the Spirit versus the leadership of the flesh? I believe there's two ways, very basically. One of those is through the Word of God. How does the Spirit of God lead and direct? How does He do that? One is through the Word of God. How does the Spirit of God lead and direct us? The other is through some urgings. Don't get scared of that until you hear what I'm saying, first of all. We find that the Spirit of God leads through the Word of God. I believe you believe that tonight. He is the author of the Bible. In 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were," what? "Moved by the Holy Ghost." How's the Word of God come to us? It's the Holy Spirit of God moving His men to write the words. Now, a lot of folks explain that in different ways. Some people say, well, it brought into effect all of the characteristics of the person who was writing it, and that may be true because it seems to be that way. But however it was the Holy Spirit of God who brought about this, our written word. He is the author of it. And so if He is the author of the Word of God, if we're going to follow the leadership of the Spirit, does it not make sense that we are going to follow then the Word of God? Now I want you to turn to John 16, to what I referred to just a moment ago. John chapter number 16, and look with me at verse number 7 this evening. John chapter 16 and verse number 7. It's interesting. The Lord said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away." Now think about that. Jesus is saying, it is expedient, it is good for you and for me that He go away. "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." We know today that has taken place. And when He has come, we know that has taken place. "He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness, of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." What do we find here? The Holy Spirit of God was sent by God, sent by the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes called the Spirit of Christ. He is a person. He is sometimes described as the third person. I don't know why we say first, second, and third. I guess we're counting. But He is a person. He's not an it. And the Spirit of God comes for two basic purposes. He comes to, He comes to comfort us. He's called the Comforter. But we find before that comfort can take place, He must convict us. He must convince us of our sinful state, that we might call upon Him as our Savior. He convinces us, by the way, through the Word of God, the law of God, that we are sinners. And when that convincement has come, we cry out for His mercy, and now He brings comfort. When you got saved, weren't you comforted? I mean, didn't you feel a burden that was lifted? Didn't you feel some relief of some sort? God came as that wondrous Comforter then into our lives and has been doing that since. But we also find in this verse 13 that He is what I sometimes describe as the Illuminator. He has brought to you and me the Word of truth. that we might have illumination, that He might guide us. And that Word of truth, I believe, is the Word of God. So the Spirit of God, if we are going to see His leadership, we're going to recognize that He is going to use His Word. Now I want tonight just stop and think of some different areas of our life that we can look and see, are we being led of the Spirit of God in our lives? Let's go to our families for just a moment. Let's go into our family life. I assume tonight you have a family life. You might be a child tonight and you've been saved. You have a family life. You have a mom and a dad. You have brothers and sisters. Maybe it's only sisters. Maybe it's only brothers. Maybe you wish you were an only child. Maybe you're an only child and wish you had 10 of them. You know? But by the way, whatever it is, God gave that to you. And if you're living in the Spirit of God, you're thankful for what God has given you. The people that are in your life. And one of the things that you're going to find, if you're living in the leadership of the Spirit of God in your family life, is obedience if you're a child. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians. Let's notice something here. Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And notice how this begins. In verse number 18 of Ephesians 5, verse 18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." How do we know if we are following the leadership of the Spirit of God? How do we know that we are filled with His Spirit and He is indeed working in our lives? We're going to skip some verses because we'll come back to a little bit of that. But in chapter number 6 and verse 1, what does it say? "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what?" That's right. How can we tell the leadership of God in our family life? For children, they're going to what? They're going to follow the leadership of their parents. You say, how long am I a child? As long as you're under their roof. You know, I think some folks in America need to get some things out of their crawl. For some reason, we raise our kids and say, when you're 18, well, you're on your own. Who said? If you're still in my house, you're still under my rule. Because God placed me as daddy, leader of the family. Amen? We need to get some things straight in that regard. You say, well, that's the law of the land, not the law of the Bible. See? And when a child grows up and he meets so-and-so or she meets so-and-so and they fall in love and they get married, guess what happens? A new home is formed and now there's new leadership. And so until that time, a child is to be in obedience to their parents. That is the leadership of the Spirit. What do we read back there in verse 16? What do we read? Must be filled with the Spirit of God. It goes on and tells the results of that. One of the results of that we find is submission, submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then it gets very particular in those results. And one of those is children to their parents. Another we find in verse number 22, are wives to their husbands. Now, husbands, don't sit there and get this big pompous look on your face and say, boy, I hope my wife is listening tonight, because we're going to get to you last. But wives are to be in submission to their husbands. They're to follow His leadership. That's what God's Word says. And so if we're full of the Spirit of God, there's going to be what? That submission unto the husband. A wife who is not under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God is not going to be what? Submitting to her husband. We've had a lot of that in our communities of Christ, have we not? But also, may I remind husbands tonight that God has placed you as well, and if you're under this leadership of the Spirit of God, He has placed you in a position of leadership, not dictatorship. There's a difference. A position of leadership in all matters, and may I say especially spiritual. I want you to notice especially verse number 25 says, husbands what? By the way, one time God says to the wives, submit yourselves. Three times God says to husbands, love your wives. And notice what he says, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. What's the response of the husband? To make his wife, and by the way, his children as well, into the image of Christ. Most Christian husbands are a bunch of nags that want to spout off orders, and when their wife doesn't follow them, they want to say, well, you're supposed to be in subjection to me. You're supposed to follow my every whim. Oh, you egghead. Why don't you study the rest of Ephesians chapter 5? And look at what God expects out of us. We are to what? If we are under the leadership of the Spirit of God, then we're going to be leading in spiritual matters. Very simply stated. We'll go a little bit farther tonight as I think about what I would describe as our occupational life. If you're not with your family, there's probably three places as a Christian you go. You go to work and you go to church. Pretty much it. And as you go to work, I mean, if it's 40 hours or 50 hours, whatever the time might be involved in that, this is our occupational life. And God tells us something about that. Under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, if we are full of the Spirit of God, there is going to be a submission of one to another. He gets very specific of wives to husbands. He gets very specific of children to their parents. But did you notice chapter 6, verse number 5? It gets very specific for employees. Servants, be obedient to them, to your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but notice this, as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. I've had people say to me, preacher, it'd be really nice to be in full-time Christian ministry. According to that verse, wherever you're at, you should be. If you're digging ditches, it ought to be digging ditches for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is an honorable position. It is as honorable as standing in a pulpit and preaching to people. Because in it, he says, doing the will of God from the heart. And so in our occupational life, we ought to be diligent in our labor. I would take it one step farther. When God gives you of that and God supplies you with your needs as a result of that, if we are going to be following the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, we find in His Word that people took of the increase and what? They tithed off of that. They gave to God off of that. Interesting. So we've got a family life that God is pretty specific about in His Word. You say, well, man, I'm following the leadership of the Spirit of God. He urges me and I just do this, I do that. Let me ask you, is it in accordance with the Word of God? I believe that as we've looked at those two areas of our life, very often it is not. And we walk out from underneath of that leadership. And we wonder what is wrong in our lives. And when we do, we need to what? Confess it, come back to the Lord, and allow Him to restore that. There's another area of our life. Perhaps we don't spend as much time in it, but I would describe it as our church life. You know, there are certain aspects of our life with our brethren that is very peculiar to the Word of God that teaches us what we should be. One of those things I find in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, just to take a few of these things, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. What is interesting is Christians today, they're saying, Jesus is coming soon. I want to go to church less. I have more things that I want to do and I want to get involved with. But God says, you see, the day approaching, it ought to be the opposite of that. I want to challenge you to do something. I want to challenge you to pick up your Bible, turn to the book of Acts, and find out what the early church services were mostly about. You won't go very far in the book of Acts and you're going to find that they are in not a preaching service, but a prayer service. You know that most of God's people do not believe that a prayer service is a part of the church of God. Isn't that amazing? But God says we ought to be faithful in all manners of this, in all functions of it. And the formal service, as I look at the book of Acts of the early church, was that they gathered for prayer. My, did God bless them for that. God's people say, oh, I believe in the power of prayer, and yet skip that most important part. Let me ask you a question. As we think about these things, we'll get to one more in just a moment. Let me ask you a question, though, tonight. Children, is it the flesh or is it the spirit that causes you to disobey mom and dad? Is the answer obvious? Our wives today, let me ask you, is it the spirit or is it the flesh that causes you to be unsubmissive to your husband? The answer is what? Pretty obvious, isn't it, as we look at the Word of God? Husbands, really, is it the spirit or is it the flesh that causes us to be lazy in our leadership in all matters in our homes, especially spiritual? Again, I believe that the answer is pretty obvious. We look in our occupational lives. I had a fellow one day, he came to me and he said, Pastor, I don't know what to do. He says, I'm working on this job. And he said, there's another Christian there. And he says, the people there, they hate him. I said, why do they hate him? He says, because he doesn't do any work. All he does is preach to them all day while we're doing his work. He says, they look and they see him as a thief of their time and of their employees' time, or employer's time. God says we ought to be diligent. Is that of the spirit or is that of the flesh? Again, it's pretty easy. Look at our church life and faithfulness. And when we skip something, let me ask you, is it the flesh or is it the spirit that urges us? You see, it's really pretty simple when we allow the Word of God to have that position in our lives. Because it's God's Word that the Holy Spirit of God is leading through. Let's think about this for a minute. The Holy Spirit of God shows us from the Word of God, and it was very well brought to us this last week, and that is that we as an individual within this church, we have a functioning part. We are part of a body, the Bible describes it. And we have a place here. We have something that only we really are to do. And if we don't do it, guess what? It doesn't get done. Or somebody else has to pick it up. Is it of the spirit or is it of the flesh when we don't function as part of the body? There's another part of our life that I would just simply call our inner life. Book of Colossians chapter 3 really kind of sums it up to me. Verse number 2 says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Our affections need to be placed in the right position. They need to be placed certainly upon Him. But where are our affections? Is it of the spirit or is it of the flesh? Let's go to yesterday, everything you did. Everything that was transpired today, was it, within you, the desires of your heart, were they of the flesh or were they of the spirit? Normally the answer is really pretty clear. We'll stop and consider. We talk about, and oh my goodness, how we need to allow God's Spirit to lead us. But He's given us a direction book. Here's what we do too often. We'll get something in the mail. It might be some little thing you got to put together. How many have received something you got to put together? You thought you was buying it, it was going to be whole, but it had to be put together. And you looked at that and you thought, boy, this is pretty simple. You pulled the directions out, set them off to the side somewhere, and you began to put it together. And pretty soon, something didn't work quite right. You know those two screws that were in there? One's a little bit bigger than the other one. And when you're putting that bigger one in that hole, it just kind of was going a little bit tighter than you thought it should. But boy, you got that thing in there otherwise. And the pre-drilled hole that you went to next, that little screw wouldn't fit. Now you got a problem. Because we were doing it ourselves. God has given to us a wonderful set of directions called the Word of God. The Spirit of God, in almost everything, is going to lead us by the principles of the Word of God. His truth is that which brings freedom, because as we listen to the Spirit of God give us that truth, it sets us free from the bondage that the flesh will bring us under. If you were saved, you were saved out of that bondage. But when we live by the flesh, we go back under it. We're led by the Word of God. There are, however, some occasions that I would use the word urgings. And if we're allowing the Word of God to direct us in all these other areas of our life, God sometimes places within us some wonderful urgings. They're always in accordance with God's Word. For God is not the author of confusion. For a guy to say, oh, I really feel led of God, go down the bank and with this little thing, this little instrument I have here, it's got six things inside of it, with this little thing, I'm going to withdraw some money. The Bible says, thou shalt not what? Steal. The guy says, well, that's kind of ridiculous. Well, we do that. It's always in accordance with God's Word. How do you know if an urging is right? I believe very much in allowing the Spirit of God in these urges, if I can use that word, in our prayer time. As God lays upon our heart those things that need to be prayed for, how do I know if they are from God? I believe the obvious answer is when they bring honor to Him and not to ourselves. When it brings Him the glory, because we want it for Him. When walking in the Spirit, He gives us desires to bring honor to Himself. Never to ourself or for selfish reasons. When we're walking in the Spirit of God, we want Him to receive that glory. Amen? We want this thing because it's going to help the cause of Christ. We're asking for something to take place in the life because it's going to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. An individual comes to our heart and our mind that we want to see saved. We ask God to work in their heart. Why? So we can have the glory of leading them to Christ. Say everybody, hey, I want somebody to Christ. No, it is because if we have the right leadership, and so God will be honored by another soul that is singing His praises. Amen. Those are the urgings that take us in the direction that will bring honor to Him. It's not for me, not even for you, it's for Him. Amen? To God be the glory. How does the Spirit of God lead us? Well, we got the Word of God. We got all of its principles. We looked at a few things. We looked at our lives, in our families, and so much more we could look at there. I mean, we could talk about how we are to discipline our children. We can talk about how we're to train them, how we're to do all of these things. But God gives us those directions. Are we being led of the Spirit, allowing Him through His Word to show us what to do? Are we doing that in our occupational life? An area that, especially with men and many women, takes up a major portion of our lives. Are we doing it heartily as unto Him? I would say to students, that is your occupation. Is it grudgingly or is it with great joy we enter into it? Because we want to bring God glory. What about our church life? And what God expects us. Let me ask you this. Do you love your brethren because the Spirit of God dwells so mightily within you that it's just the natural result? Or do you look at the Bible and says, love your brethren, and say, okay, I love you? That'd be good to hear, wouldn't it, Dorothy? It don't work that way. We look at that. You see, we got principles to operate with. The Spirit of God will take us through the book. That's why that Bible becomes so very, very important in the Spirit-led life. That's why we get up every morning and throughout the day we're able to take that Word and allow its principles to enter our soul, and we think about it and we digest it and we meditate upon it. We seek to apply it to our lives. And by the way, if that's not happening, you're not in spirit. And may I say to God's people, that is the number one spot that Christians fail. How can we operate in the principles of the Word of God when we leave it on the coffee table? Many of God's people walk in the church and preacher gets up and click, smile comes on their face and brain and eyes behind the lids that are open is gone dead. And for 30 minutes, they spend brain dead. And let's ask real stupid for a moment. And then they wonder, what happened? You heard the story, didn't you, about the fellow? He was always sleeping in church, so the preacher one day said, I'm going to get even with this guy. And so the guy, he went to sleep, and the preacher, while he'd preaching away, and he saw this guy asleep, and finally he looked and he saw, boy, this guy is really out. And so in a real quiet voice, he says to the whole congregation, if you really love God, excuse me, let me rephrase this. Love God. I'm going to get this wrong. I don't even know what he said. He said, if you really love the devil, stand up. And of course, this guy, he woke up and he stood right up. Everybody else was seated. And he said, preacher, I don't know what we're voting on, but you and I are the only ones voting in for it. We need to allow the Spirit of God to lead us. Amen. Because that's what He wants. Amen. He is our guide. And He will guide us into truth. He will guide us to do the truth. There is nothing as good as allowing Him to do what He wants to do. So I try and I try. That's why we fail, because He wants to do it. It's submitting ourselves. It's yielding ourselves to Him. You see, it's saying to the Lord, I yield myself to You today. I give myself to You. It's an act of the will. It's saying, God, You take it. And when we find that slipping away, it's, Lord, I'm sorry. I give it back to You. And allowing Him to lead us that day. That's what He wants to do. Lord God, tonight I pray You'll take these things, make these practical applications in our heart and our lives. Help us to understand basic truth. Help us to realize real Spirit-led lives. Sometimes we get this fancy idea that we don't have to go in accordance with the Word of God, but Your Word is truth. You have written it. You have given it to us. You even are in our hearts to help us understand it. and you are there to empower us to accomplish it, because in ourselves we cannot. Lord God, bless and work in every heart tonight. I pray that you'll help us this evening. If there is a need for repentance, if there's a need tonight to walk down this aisle and to confess some things to you, God, I pray that that would take place. We ask it in Jesus' holy, righteous name. Amen.